KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
That's right, we're here. Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon.
And my name's the phlegm-encrusted Aura.
Man, you do sound pretty bad.
Pretty good compared to how I sounded before.
That's, well, you didn't sound this way last week. Last week you were fine.
I could do a good job of hiding it?
Maybe.
Maybe, I think it was right before...
Right before you got the sickness.
Well, yeah, I was kind of a little bit that way, but then like the heavy coughing started after
Dude,
that.
It's rough. Everybody I know is sick, and it's going to inevitably happen to me, but for now, it's only affected certain parts of me, which, well, are not in my head.
Yeah, so. but fortunately, in return, I get the sexy deep voice.
Yes, well, that's fantastic. I look forward to it greatly. I'm not sure our chat room's running properly right now, because I'm totally not in it, which is a problem. But anyway, if you're listening live, thank you. I just won't know that you are. Feel free to give us a call at 866-536-1100 if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions
yes.
for things to discuss.
Thank you.
What I was just reading as the show came on was about a change in the PlayStation 3's operating system size, which is important to note because it all sits in memory while the machine's running, right? So if they...
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if the whole operating itself sits in memory or just what they were putting in memory.
Usually they... And without knowing any of the specifics, I can tell you this. They reserve a certain amount of, let's say, RAM, right, for just operating system use.
Yeah. So it went down from something like 120 megs what I'm assuming is the original PlayStation 3 iteration to now only 50 megs. So 70 megs extra RAM free. And if I understand, like, I'm pretty sure the PlayStation 3 has very little RAM to begin with, like 256 of... You know, the type of RAM that gets used for that stuff.
Well, it's all relative, isn't it?
There's video RAM and all that jazz and other RAMs, but the RAM that this applies to, I think, was 256. And so if 120 of it was taken, that's already half of it is operating system. But now only a fifth of it is operating system.
It's good.
I mean, that's huge.
Better. It is
but,
huge.
I don't know how much change it could make. Like, I guess we'll have speedier things. I don't know. More things happening?
Sure. Probably.
Neither of us are really code junkies.
Well, yeah. And without being one, I can also say that probably one of the best things you can do for developers is just let them have more RAM.
Apparently, they say, according to Joystick, a PS3 developer told us that any bit of RAM helps. Generally, it probably won't change design, but might allow extra effects resolution or dynamic lights or something. Probably more beneficial from the systems and art side than from design and gameplay. So that's cool, and I'll forgive the typo. Blobbity blobbity blah. Certainly, yeah. Well, good news. That's great. Maybe the PS3 will come out with something that I want to play again, and I'll get to see that change. That would be fantastic.
Or you just won't notice it at all.
That's much more likely. Did you see the article that Rich put on Golgatron recently?
No, but why don't you tell me about it?
So. Over at thegolgatron.com, which is GOLGOTRON, we occasionally will write an article that we think has some potential, and you know, Rich usually goes and puts it on N4G and Dig and all that stuff, right? And N4G has been this huge surge for the Golgatron articles. And when I had written my thing, remember I told you about the Sega Playboy one that I did, and I showed you the videos and whatever, about Bayonetta and the really bad, stupid thing that Playboy set up to... I'm guessing try and get some sort of traffic from video game nerds. That at the time was the most read article on Golgatron. And then Rich upped it by writing an article, which I actually thought he was just being a whiny little baby, about Square Enix. And they had released screenshots for Final Fantasy 13. This is like last week.
Oh,
a long time ago.
I can't wait.
Have you not heard about this already?
No, but I can't wait for you to tell me what this article is all about.
Okay, so, well, it's Rich, right? So who cares? But the content, I think it was pulled from Kotaku, basically, the idea. But they released screenshots for the PS3 and Xbox 360 versions. and they were identical screenshots with the exception of the button mappings that were visible on screen.
Okay.
So, like,
not,
you know,
surprising at all.
Circle versus B button,
sure.
Something like that, right?
Sure.
And he actually compared the shots, or someone else compared the shots, or whatever. The shots were compared.
So he made a compared the shots,
yes,
perhaps.
He did, or he was reiterating what someone else wrote in some other article. I don't know. I didn't do my research for that. I just stayed on the site. Who would want to go somewhere else once you go to Golgotron, right?
Clearly.
Of course not. But he compared them pixel to pixel. They're exactly the same. And he got big huff and a huff and a puff about how Square is screwing with us. Clearly, these are just from one of the systems and not representative of the true screenshots from at least one of the systems. And it was probably taken on a PC, to be honest. And then the stuff was laid on.
Now, the first question I would ask is, why is this even warrant discussion? But maybe...
And that's my thought, too.
Maybe I should just humor you for a few minutes here.
With a game like... Well, so, I mean, I guess you can say that about any game. Who cares so much about the tiny details of the graphics,
right? Not so much the tiny details of the graphics, but, I mean, we already know that, I mean, for all practical purposes, right, the Xbox 360 and the PS3 are pretty close in terms of graphical power. And
the PS3 can actually do more, they just haven't.
Sure, but we also already know that since games cost so much to develop, right, they have to amortize, have to amortize their cost of development by making a game that'll run on both platforms, which means that it's probably usually...
lowest common denominator, right?
Well, yes, and it's too expensive to do something special for one platform over another, so they have to use basically the same assets for both platforms for the cost of the game to make sense.
Supposedly, they have good middleware these days where you can put in a model and it spits out the appropriate model for whatever system.
Well, right, but we're not talking about, like, you know, PS3 and PS2 here. We're talking about two very powerful, very capable systems that are about on the same level, give or take.
Well, anyway... he goes in this big article about how, like, basically they should be jailed and put to death because of this, and it's horrible.
Of course they should,
right? And I had some criticisms of his writing style and all, but in general, honestly, whatever got that many readers to the website, I don't really care how he does it. That was all right with
me. Okay, sure.
So, anyway, then a week later, he you know, puts in a new article because Square has apologized. They did that very quickly. We don't know how that happened. That was clearly a mistake, and we're going to give you new images. And they did. And then he writes another one and shows, I'm not even going to tell you which image is from which system. But clearly, I mean, you can see a clear difference between the two. Now, I could not see a difference between the two. And I looked. Not only that, I never knew which one should I expect to be better, right? Because the Xbox is supposed to be better to program for, easier to program for.
Right.
But, the PS3 technically is more powerful, so I wouldn't know which one's supposed to look better. And so I was just confused, like, really? I don't see a difference here. And I'm pretty observant with that stuff, but whatever. He claims I was just looking on the laptop. I didn't expand it to full size.
Right.
But anyway, he was very happy, it seemed, that Square owned up, but still thinks they should, you know, be given the chair.
Right. Well, I don't think that you have to judge a screen on a per-pixel basis to figure out which one's better. I mean, if just on initial visual inspection of a glance, if they look about the same, then that's a fair assessment.
Honestly, I bet the original shots were just taken on a PC, and then from that base PC development image, they put on the stuff for the appropriate system.
That makes sense.
That
probably
might better approximate one of the systems, but that doesn't mean it came from either of them. Probably came somewhere else, which someone in the comments had mentioned. But then, further than that, in the second article that's talking about, you know, the two different images and stuff, one guy who I was quite mean to after he wrote this comment, he writes, well, I should get the comment out to read it exactly, but he says, essentially, I'm going to buy both versions because I want to support Square, but I'll probably end up playing the Xbox 360 version for whatever reason.
That's a very noble thing to do.
Do you think so?
It's
because I made fun of him without reserve. In fact, I just straight up called him an idiot. And Josh got very angry at me for doing this, by the way. But I'm alienating our commenters. I guess he's the only commenter we have.
It's such a fine line between noble and stupid.
Why would you buy two different versions of the same game, knowing that you're not going to play one of them? I mean, who would play this particular game, which isn't even multiplayer, right? So you're not going to enjoy the multiplayer aspects of it.
Consider it a donation or...
Then buy two versions of the best one and give one to your friend. Or just send a friggin' check.
Or tantamount to a, a stock purchase, as it were.
That's also possible. I mean, the thing is, if someone tells me send a check to Square, I'm like, I don't know how to do that. And if I did, where would it go? It would sit. They wouldn't cash it, right? So I couldn't actually donate to the Square employee fund, but you could do something. Like go out and buy their games that weren't successful. That would be far more helpful to their cause than buying an additional copy of a game that's going to be crazy successful anyway. Because they're going to hit whatever bonus levels they need. They want some sudden resurgence. That's we should influence everyone to go out and buy a $10 game that sucks. And then, hey, maybe we can see a sequel for that crappy game.
Maybe so.
That would probably do more damage than good, I think. But I was just like, just buy... Why stop at 2 if you want to support the company, you know?
Well,
buy 12.
Well, sure. You'd have to buy at least, I think, 3,000 or 4,000 for anyone to notice.
Right? Suddenly, everywhere in Phoenix was sold out. We don't know why.
But not everybody has those, financial resources. So they like to feel like they're doing something in the small way
that
they're able to. Exactly.
But, I mean, he would do a better job. He should start a movement for everyone to buy 2 copies. Or it just seemed wildly insulting to me that to think, oh, you're gonna soup up my sales, man, by buying 2 copies of my game. Well, great. I want you to buy a game that you'll never play. That does me just wonderful thing. It'll get me all sorts of money and my bonus, and like, I just don't know what it would accomplish. And I felt it would be insulting to the developer to tell them, oh, I bought 2 copies of your game.
They probably wouldn't even spend more than 2 seconds thinking about it.
No, maybe not. But why would he spend that time thinking about it?
Because it makes him feel better.
I guess, man.
In the small way, in the very small power that he has as an Earthling, it makes him feel better.
Save that money.
So just give him that luxury of determining the consequences of his own finances.
You know what we should do? We should start a website that says, hey guys, you should sacrifice a game. Some game that you're going to buy this year, you can use our website as a portal for some charity of your choice or something. And you can say, I sacrificed playing this particular game to send $60 to some, kid without water in Africa or something.
It could be kind of like one of those silly, like, carbon credit things.
I bet this would actually work. For Lent. We could set it up for Lent. People sacrifice stuff on Lent, don't they? What time? Norm, do you know when Lent is?
Some of the Christians do.
Yes, Lent is a time when a lot of people do sacrifice.
Oh, but I mean, like, what time during the year is it?
It's Lent.
In what month does Lent take place? What 2 months?
Well, February, March, and then Easter comes in April.
Okay. So there you go. Right about now. Right. We'll have to do this for next year.
All
right. But give up your game for Lent. And, sure. It'll only hit a certain subset of people who celebrate that. But...
That will make Jesus happy, and that will make you happy.
Oh, it totally would. All right. We'll be right back.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
Teaching you about Christian holidays. Did you have any idea that
Teaching
Lent...
ourselves about Christian holidays.
The end of Lent, I guess, is Easter, he's telling me?
I knew that. I did know that.
Didn't Easter used to be in May? When did it turn into April?
It's a question that that a lot of people can't realize. Why is Lent on a different set of days every year? In that because
Easter is always on a different day, right?
Yeah, like for instance, we start with Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday is the start of the Lenten period, and this year
that's when you put the ash on your forehead.
That's right.
Dude, I walked around the mall one day, and like there are all these people with dots on their head that shouldn't normally have dots on their head. I was freaking out.
Those are Indians.
No, man, they had scratchy coal on their head.
Yeah, that's right. That's what they actually do.
Those are Christians.
They put a cross on your forehead.
Dude, you guys are weird.
And then it started on the 17th of February, so we're ending the first week of Lent right now.
I wonder if I've been giving anything up.
I have been subject to the ash on the forehead.
Really?
As a child, yeah.
That is funny to me.
It's very uncomfortable.
What's great about your history is that your ethnicity, it's a Christian pocket, right? Nobody else around you is Christian.
Well, we're the original. We're like one of the original Christians. We're like the coolest Christians.
But everyone around you is Arab, right?
You mean like...
Like it's Armenia.
In the world, yeah. Well, yeah.
Armenia, and then everyone around there, Arabs. Except Israel, obviously, which are the Jews.
Well, there's those guys, and then there's Georgia, which they're also the Christian.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like
like the state
I
as
think,
well.
Yeah. You know, there's like.
Interesting.
I think.
Well.
But
to,
yeah.
To close this theological lesson, or theology lesson, I should say, I'm going to tell everyone about our fantastic sponsor, UAT.edu. The University of Advancing Technology. Go to their website, learn about what they have to teach you. Probably not going to teach you a lot about religion, but I bet they do have at least one class on it, you know, for those elective credits or general studies or something.
Religion and games?
I don't know if they would associate it with games. Yeah. It would just be
doesn't
a class on religion. It
doesn't happen too much.
But you know, that's good stuff to know.
Except for the fundamentalist Christians. They seem to be very interested in making games.
Oh, well, actually a lot of religious groups are. Do you think any Arab groups have made games?
I'm sure there's one somewhere.
No. But we've been inspired. We've made, like, terrorist games of the people shooting up high schools and things like that.
Sure.
We just being Americans. I mean,
yep.
We're our own religion, I think, is Americans. All right. Well, we got Penn, our studious listener, on the phone. He wants to talk about Bad Company 2. Have you played this game?
Me?
Yes.
I'll give you one guess.
I'm going to say no.
Good guess.
Do I even know what kind of game it is?
It's not about a mischievous corporate scandal.
No. I think it's like a third-person team-based action-y game.
Okay, sure.
I think.
Sure.
Can we bring Penn on? Do we make that happen, Norm? Penn, you're basically going to be a guest host right now because I have nothing to say about Bad Company 2.
Oh, well, it's a first-person shooter. It's actually Battlefield Bad Company 2.
Okay, there you go. See, it shows what I know.
Before I get to my question, I have a little story that leads into the question, which was...
Ooh, story time. Okay.
I put in almost 360 hours into Modern Warfare 2.
360?
It is a shame that it counts your time, because it elevates your feeling of self-worthlessness.
Wait, does that count, like, waiting online in between games and stuff?
Nope.
All right, that's impressive.
That's really only in-game time?
I'm 7 times prestige. I believe so. I mean,
does it also count how much time you were alive during that time and not just waiting for spawning?
Well, the reason I think it's in-game is because I do a lot of waiting because sometimes we're sitting around waiting for other people to join our match. So I have a feeling that
it would
be a lot.
That is the worst expenditure of time. To be sitting just waiting for stuff to happen. So you're actually in a map and you're waiting for people to join in?
No, you're not in the map yet. You're waiting in the lobby.
So you're just in the lobby?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because usually it's about maybe 30 to 45 seconds before the match actually starts.
All right, well, I didn't mean to hamper your story. You have played a ridiculous amount of Modern Warfare, you know what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
And then the story continues.
And so I keep hearing that a lot of people are liking Bad Company 2, and I was like, okay, this is great. Maybe I can find something to replace Modern Warfare, even though I highly doubt it.
Yeah, why would you even try?
Well, you know, you never know. I always give everything a fair shot. I didn't like the first Bad Company because...
It was an EA game.
Well, that's where the problem comes in.
All right, let's hear it.
So I download the demo, and I go to play demo, and then it asks for the EULA, which is the user license agreement.
Yep.
And that's when it hits me, oh yeah, this is why I don't play EA games, because I don't want to give them my personal information. And also... I could play Modern Warfare for the next 10 years, but when Bad Company 3 comes out, EA will just shut down the servers for Bad Company 2, so why bother putting in any time? And I want to know, what do you guys think about that?
I think you're being foolish. Because do you still play Modern Warfare?
Only because Modern Warfare 2 came out.
Yeah, so if Bad Company 3 came out, why would you think that you'd still be playing Bad Company 2?
For the same reason I go back and play Halo and Perfect Dark and all those other games that I enjoy.
Yeah, but you just said that you, unless I misunderstood, you don't play Modern Warfare anymore because Modern Warfare 2 is available.
Well, I got into Modern Warfare 1 late.
okay, I don't really care when you did it. The newest one came out, and now you're playing the newest one. You have abandoned the older one. And you would do the same thing with Bad Company 3. If that came out, you would stop playing the second one. So who cares if it closed down the server?
But I also go back and play Unreal Tournament 2004, even though Unreal Tournament 3 exists. I have no guarantee that Modern Warfare 3 will be better than Modern Warfare 2. And because of that...
Ooh, turn that down.
Because I don't have that guarantee... I would, and even if I did, I'm sure they'll make changes that'll drive me crazy. I mean, after Burnout 3 Takedown, I've hated every single Burnout after that, which I think they came out with three more after that one. And they've been terrible, and I can't play Burnout 3 online.
Well, the answer, of course, is to just play offline, and when you get sick of that, play a different game.
But if the whole point is multiplayer for a game like Bad Company 2...
So it's its only value as a multiplayer game?
Well, come on, yes.
The first demo is people only play multiplayer. Online.
Well, I mean, consider it this way, right? I mean, even if they don't actually close down the servers, I mean, don't you think that there's going to be a substantial migration of the people who play the game in the first place, so that there's not going to be that many people left over playing the older version anyway?
Well, tell that to the people who play Counter-Strike versus Counter-Strike Source. I mean, people play the original Counter-Strike over Counter-Strike Source.
Yeah, because people are poor and don't have the new one. But
actually, it's free.
That's
not an excuse. Counter-Strike Source is free.
If you have Half-Life.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which everyone pretty much does.
No, I mean, you still have to buy something. Anyway, I don't know. I don't think this is that big of an issue, and I don't care. Like, you're a power user, man. Like, you have to understand that even if you play Bad Company 3 for, let's say, just 100 hours instead of your 360 hours, you have probably, quite possibly, actually cost EA money because you're spending so much time on their servers and they're not getting any more money out of you unless you're buying their DLC that they might release every once in a while, right?
Which they definitely will release.
Right.
I'll make this an issue for you because I knew that this was going to happen because you don't like shooters. So how about people who are playing Mass Effect, the EA servers messed up, and they couldn't play their single-player game? There is no online aspect to Mass Effect 2, and yet people could not play their game. And the same thing with Dragon Age.
Well, let's answer that question. But first, let me point out that I do actually kind of like shooters. It's just been a while since I've played any of them because, you know, once when you get old, you stop being good at games. And when you play with a bunch of people who just kick your ass all the time, you don't want to play anymore.
Aren't you like my age?
I'm old. I just had a birthday.
He's like 87.
I had a birthday 3 days ago.
And oh, congratulations.
I'm older than ever. Thank you. Yes, I'm still alive. It's fantastic. Actually, my girlfriend got me Pac-Man cufflinks, which are fan-friggin-tastic. And like from a custom artist on Etsy. It was awesome. So you guys should try to hunt those down. Even though she doesn't make them anymore, you can ask her. She'll do it. Anyway, I would love to play a shooter. I just haven't actually spent my time doing it. And your replacement question is much worse because I hate Mass Effect or that type of game, or rather I should say I dislike it far more than most any other type of game.
But I think we had a related topic that we were going to talk about anyway.
Exactly, because Ubisoft did exactly the same thing or is about to do the same thing with another game.
Yeah, they did. Not only with Papers...
We're trying to recall which game it is.
This is great radio. This is why we're professionals, guys.
I just can't remember the name of the game.
Assassin's Creed 2 and Settlers 7.
But only for PC.
Only for PC now because that's the only medium with which they can enforce it, right? So if you're playing either of those two games, you have to have a continuous internet connection. And if it goes down, that means that they can't watch you play no more and you can't play the game no more.
They're not interested in people in Africa playing their games, apparently. All right, Penn, do you want to stay on? Do you have more to talk about?
I just want to say my gamer tag is Raging Ninja.
All right, cool. Raging Ninja. Maybe we'll pimp that later. We'll be right back, guys.
Hello, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
And we're back. sometimes when people call us and ask us questions, we like to tell them how much we think their questions are dumb. And, you know, I can apologize.
Only sometimes.
Only sometimes.
Usually we're much more gregarious.
Penn actually brings up some very good conversation. But in this particular case, I don't care. I would be upset if they prematurely locked out people, you know, turned off a server for something that people were still playing. But I have a feeling they wait till there's a significant drop and then they turn it off.
You know what's funny? Maybe this is like a generational thing, like you said, but I'm going to take a different angle on it. I have no expectation whatsoever for any online version of any game to be necessarily present when I'm playing, right? Whereas he does, right?
Which is why he would probably buy a game over the internet and you and I prefer to have the disc.
Like, if there's an online component of the game, of any game, and people are online, I'm like, yay, people are online, now I can play this online, right? Whereas the other perspective is, you know, why the hell aren't there people online for me to play with, right?
Dude, I mean, you know as well as I do, there are games that are released that don't even have a non-online component. Right?
Well, true.
Other than WoW.
True. But, I mean, Modern Warfare, Bad Company, there are one-player modes of that game, right?
Yes, but
even though yes, the majority of people play them for the multiplayer.
The game is Modern Warfare is essentially two games in one. Right. There's the online game, which plays totally differently than the single-player game.
Right.
Like, there's missions and there's stealth and all that stuff, and you don't get that in the multiplayer.
Right.
You're running around, you're killing people every way you can, and there's rankings and all that stuff, and or leveling, I should say, and that doesn't happen in the single-player. For all I know, there could be leveling in the single-player, but I don't think there is. It's totally different gameplay. You're still first person. You're still shooting a gun.
Right.
Okay. Good.
I
don't have the expectation they'll keep a server on forever, and I also don't care because I'm gonna be like the masses and I'm gonna move on to the next game. And if the third game in the series sucked and the second didn't and still had a lot of players in the server, maybe not. Maybe since they're not making any more money on it, they would turn it off. But I'd like to think that they wouldn't. I mean, Halo 2 for the Xbox is running until they turn off the Xbox Live servers.
Right. Well, certainly you can't expect it to last indefinitely, especially if the company who released the game has to maintain servers for it.
Yeah.
You can't have that expectation. So eventually they're going to have to stop. So the only question is, like, when would you expect them to stop?
And when I said prematurely, that line may be different for different people.
Sure.
Basically, it's whenever you want to not play that old game anymore.
Right, and I think the younger you are, it seems, the more, and this is not a slight on Penn necessarily, but it does seem that the younger the person is, the more entitlement they feel to deserve
everything.
Pretty much, yeah. Okay.
He did say he thought he was as old as me. Perhaps.
Yes. But he's not 87. And
yes.
You,
if so, Penn, then I'm quite sorry for you, sir.
Okay. So we were talking about Ubisoft's new DRM, digital rights management, and
which is the same thing. Not the same thing, but some other thing. He was talking about Mass Effect, where you can't play unless your computer's connected, so that they can tell that you're still playing with a normal disc or something.
Right, they continuously somehow pull you so that they have to. They're continuously verifying that you have a legit copy of the game. So thanks to piraters, right? Now you have to endure this. Problem of you have to be online, otherwise the game won't work, essentially.
Which is ironic, because if you pirate it, you'll patch it and not need to be online.
Well, here's the interesting angle that I wanted to bring up, and this isn't a unique opinion. A lot of people have brought this up. When something like this happens, it tends to make the pirated version of the game more valuable than the legit copy, right? The pirated version being, oh, here's a version of the game that'll work if you play offline, right? So now, this version that you can get for free is better than the version that you have to pay for.
Absolutely.
Which is incredibly dangerous.
Yeah, and you know what? I have no interest in playing that game. But if I did, because of this, I would have no ethical qualms about just getting the pirated version. Just be like, you know what? Fine. You want to screw me like that? I'll screw you. Right back. Right? That's how it would go. But,
sure.
I mean, I see your point completely. And that's why so many companies, obviously not Ubisoft, have decided they're just not going to do DRM anymore because it just pisses off the legit people and the pirates are just going to get it anyway.
Yeah, clearly the various publishers are trying new techniques and it's in a very experimental phase. And yeah, it's kind of touchy because I think that if they go too heavy-handed with things, they will actually result in the exact opposite of the effect they're looking for, which is they want to sell more. If it goes too far, they may actually end up selling less than they would otherwise because so many people are pissed off.
I think your reference to it as an experiment is perfectly correct. I'm sure it is. They're actually using this game that has a big reach, and a lot of people will want it. Not sure why, but putting out this DRM in a game as a test to see what happens with this very normally very successful game when we put the DRM in, what happens with this other game when we don't put this DRM in, and they'll do it with multiple games so you have a bigger sample size, and they can compare and see how to move forward. But what's funny to me is when you sit down and talk to developers, they're all universally against the idea of the DRM because they, you know, say the exact same things that we just said, which is your game will just be pirated anyway.
Right. Well,
why screw the people who actually pay for it?
Right. Also, I think that developers in general are closer to gamers than publishers are. The publishers think of things generally pretty much only in money-making terms, and whereas they think developers in general can sympathize with the average public who plays games.
Did you read about this this talk that Bobby Kotick gave at DICE?
Yeah, I read about it.
And how he basically tried to give a face to the publisher, and, you know, there was weeping and crying and sadness and about the realities that he put forward. He's a real human being, and no.
I didn't look at it in depth, so...
It was funny to me because...
I just got some snippets here and there.
He's lately been, you know, for some reason, and I'm sure we've been part of it, been vilified as, you know, the guy who doesn't care about the games, just cares about the mighty dollar. And then he goes to this thing, like, not dressed up in a suit, just like a regular dude, you know?
Well, all I want
to... in his low-class jet.
Yeah, all I have to say about this is that it's very, very easy to talk about your mistakes when you're... like running one of the most profitable companies out there.
Yeah. It's amazing to me that he was able to flip it like that. Like, and if that's the case, then I'm sure we'll see him on a politician's podium soon. But he was able to, according to the articles that I read about it, which were minimal, apparently able to make some people feel like he was a real person. I was feeling the tinglies inside as well.
I don't think he's a robot, if that's what you're getting at.
Well,
I think he's an actual person.
The stuff I had previously read was that basically he didn't play games. And then I guess he made some statement that made it sound like he didn't care about games at all, and he tried to reverse that and talked about how when he was a kid he played games and he doesn't anymore because he has other crap to do. But really what I've read about him makes it sound like he never really cared about games to begin with. And he's with the games company because, you know, he decided it would be profitable, but he didn't really care. And you know, the fact that he's it seems to me like he's just trying to lie and say, well, when I was a kid, I played him and I wish I could now, right?
Well, my question to you in response would be like, does it really matter?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it doesn't matter if the CEO of some company is a gamer or not. I mean,
if he's a CEO of a game company,
what do I care?
It absolutely matters because if I were to suddenly take over a cereal or grain company or something without having a true knowledge of what goes on in that company or in the minds of the customers, and actually I love cereal, so I would, but if I pick something that was totally out of my realm of experience, then I wouldn't understand the issues that come up from the customers,
their complaints and their concerns. I can see that, but on the other hand, I think that the types of decisions that CEOs have to make and are responsible for are just so high level that And now we're getting really abstract here. But,
during the break, you and I were just talking about Toyota and how they handled this thing.
Right.
And if the CEO had someone who died because of a stuck gas pedal, as stupid it is to be troubled when your gas pedal sticks, if that happened, he would have more insight into the experiences of the customer base, right? And he might have acted more ethically.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because what's his name? Akio Toyota.
Wait, the dude that heads up Toyota is actually Toyota?
Toyoda.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, he says in one of his statements that he was or maybe even continues to be a tester, and that he's tested their own products.
Yeah.
So he puts himself squarely into
So I'm sure he cares about the product, but does he care about the recall? Like, I mean, I'm speaking of a very specific situation. Maybe it's not a perfect analogy. But my point is, like, if you're a decision maker,
you can
decide to make decisions that do matter, but it's going to be harder to make a relevant decision if you don't consider yourself part of the
way that I look at it is I mean, if you're a good CEO, you don't have to know about your product. You just have to hire the right people who do. That's my perspective.
Yeah. I mean, the trickle down also has an effect. You know, you're going to choose someone who cares about it, or you're going to choose an accountant. Right. And I, as a CEO of a game developer, which I'm not, would be willing to sacrifice some number of dollars, certainly not many, right? Because you have an obligation to shareholders and all that stuff, but I'd be willing to sacrifice some amount, especially in the short term, in search of a better quality product that would be better received and appreciated by the customer base. Because, of course, long term, that leads to even more sales.
I guess what I'm saying is that traditionally, like, a CEO is just so removed from the day-to-day actual operations of what goes on in making games that, not that they can't, but normally they just don't bother.
And I just disagree.
Even if they're gamers.
I mean, simple point. He certainly is a major part of acquisitions, right? We're going to acquire this company, Blizzard, or not.
Okay.
And that has a lot to do with the outcome of a company. Anyway, more when we come back.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. And I'd like for us to switch some gears to another topic.
And what's that?
How about some games? Let's get out of this ivory tower stratosphere of CEO land.
How about we talk about the University of Advanced Technology and the UAT.edu website, where you can learn more about the programs that that university has to offer. No?
I think we just did.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
That's UAT.edu, folks.
So there's been a bunch of cool games coming out on the Xbox Live, a bunch of interesting demos, so I wanted to mention a few. So there's this game called PB Winterbottom.
This is a game that's been floating around unreleased for a very long time.
Apparently it's been in the making, yeah, for like several years.
Yeah. So I heard about it relatively soon after Braid. And the reason I remember it that way is because it was purported to be somewhat similar to Braid, although it's not really.
Yeah, which is interesting because John Blow is in the credits of this game, at least for special thanks.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's probably it. I mean, maybe they inspired certain aspects of it. So a long time went by after I'd heard about it, and then I played it at, I think, E3 last year. Might not have been E3, might have been something else, PAX or something. But I played it in, like, the indie area. And then I hadn't really thought about it in a long time. And you're saying it's released on Xbox Live now, and I had no idea.
Yep.
This is the guy with the umbrella, right?
This is the guy with the umbrella.
Okay.
This game is notable for a couple of reasons. Actually, the reason why I want to talk about it is not because it's so great, but because, at least for me personally, this is a great example of the idea that something that's novel or innovative is not necessarily good intrinsically.
So you're saying, like, some of the ideas that came out of Braid was a wonderful game, at least in my opinion, but perhaps applied in a different way wouldn't guarantee it being a good game.
Well, this is arguably a fairly novel game. Now, interestingly enough, I don't remember what I had played before, but I had played some kind of indie game that was very different in style from this game, but essentially had the same type of mechanic. And the mechanical hook of this game is basically you can record yourself doing different things and then play them back at an arbitrary point in time. And you can actually record yourself, several instances of yourself, like up to 6 of them, let's say, doing various things. And so basically many of the challenges of the game require you to, let's say, collect bunches of cakes or pies or cobblers or what have you, in a very short space of time, which only can be accomplished if you basically record your actions and then play them all back while one instance of yourself you're actually controlling. So it's kind of mind-bending in a few ways. And
basically, it's World 5 of Braid.
And, okay. So my reaction to it playing through the demo, first of all, I also thought it was notable that the whole game, they're pretty gutsy with the looks of the whole game because it's essentially all in black and white. So that's pretty cool. I mean, it doesn't make anything better or worse, It's just kind of gutsy, like, okay, so that's pretty cool. I mean, stylistically, it's really interesting. The music's nice. It's got that, like, weird, like, you know, 1910s, 20s silent film vibe to it, but not really because it's a video game, right? So all that stuff's cool. All that stuff's really interesting. I was very impressed by that. But the main thing that struck me is just revolving around this time warping mechanic. I tried to enjoy it as much as I could, but it's just not interesting or comfortable or compelling to me in any way to play a game with this mechanic. I couldn't be less interested in playing.
Was
a game
it at
like
least
that.
For a short time?
No,
like for a few levels?
No, not really. It's just it makes me, the best way I can describe it is that it forces me to think in ways that are uncomfortable, and not uncomfortable in the sense that like it's too much thought, but it's just in an uncomfortable way that's just it's just not enjoyable, right? It's like if you could possibly conceive of anybody liking a certain type of math, right? It's like I like this type of math but not this other type of math. Right.
That's strange to me, and I'm gonna compare it to Braid again, because Braid has a very similar component in, but only for a few levels, right? Because the way Braid works is it, all of the levels in it have some sort of time shifting mechanic, and so I won't go into that, but it does, right? And it's split up into multiple worlds, where in each world you're introduced to a different mechanic, and that does not carry over to the next world. Okay, well, a little bit. But for the most part, like, each new world, you can do something that you couldn't do before, and you won't be able to do that in the next one. And one of them is making this basically shadow person. And each world only has a certain number of levels, and let's say six, right? So six worlds with six levels each, and I don't know if that's accurate, but it's something like that. And what happens is you create a new puzzle element with each one, but you're never going to repeat the same puzzle element, or at least, you know, with great rarity. So you do something that's interesting every single time because it's always something new, which is something I talk about all the time. Like, I want newness in my games. And so this game is just like a sequence of 50 new experiences.
Right. Now, I have read that there are new and different things that they introduce as you go along. But just talking about just this basic gameplay mechanic,
If it was interesting to you for five levels,
yeah, no, it
wasn't. Then I would understand.
No, it wasn't even. I mean, it was just, you know, played the first part, and I'm like, okay, I've seen this in Blinks and whatever.
Blinks.
It's kind of cool, but it just, like, there's just nothing about it that stimulates my mind. You know, it's just this weird kind of manipulation that, I wish I could articulate it beyond that, right? But it's just like, you know, I like country music and I don't like classical music, or vice versa. You know, it's like this is...
That's not true, actually, is it?
No, I just made that up.
Oh, right? I'm just thanking myself.
Right, but it's just, it's this specific type of mental gymnastics that you have to do. Or let me put it another way. This is a better analogy, right? It's like, I like crossword puzzles, but I don't like P-cross, right?
I love P-cross, and I don't like crossword
puzzles. Okay, so there you go. Like, it's that kind of thing, right? And it's... For
They're
me,
not that similar, though.
For me, it's very polarizing, right? I like to think of games when I play them as, you know, just like on the same time continuum, right? And it's very ugly to me to think about, like, okay, I'm making these several strings of time. Like, whether you personally, you listening, like it or not, you know, I want people to consider, right, that... Just because somebody thinks of something that's new doesn't necessarily make it automatically better. And to me, this is this example.
Well, honestly, I don't know if anyone thought that it did. New doesn't necessarily mean better, but there's... Well, of all the possibilities of new, some of them are fun.
Sure, sure. Certainly, some of them are. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up is that it's just too often there seems to be an assumption, especially amongst the video game media at large, that... If somebody does something that has novelty in it, that novelty, just from its sheer nature, must be better because it's new. And I disagree with that type of philosophy. It's funny because, yeah, you know what? Probably in the specific discussion, nobody would ever admit to something that's new being necessarily better. But at the same time, if you just consider like the aggregate of the media, the way the media behaves, like, oh, this is new and better, right?
Well, both new and improved,
right,
usually.
Right, right. And it's like, yeah, on an individual basis, maybe nobody admits it or agrees to it. But if you look at the aggregate behavior of everybody, there's definitely that subtext there, which is, you know, it's not good for discussions and it's not good for thinking critically about games.
You know, it's weird, though, because I'm that person who constantly wants something that's new. But I...
Well, novelty I do think is important. I just think that it's – you could maybe say that for some people or some context that novelty is a necessary condition for enjoyment in some cases, but not a sufficient one.
Well, no, it also has to be interesting. And P.B. Winterbottom, I didn't have the same complete distaste as you did. I didn't get the chance to really play it.
Yeah, I just didn't want to do it. There's no other explanation for it. No other way to describe it.
Let me tell you that time shifting is one of the more fascinating ideas to me. In fact, I was excited. I hadn't been following the Prince of Persia movie, but I was excited to find out that the Prince of Persia movie, which is as much as I knew about it, its title, was going to be related to the Sands of Time aspect of the more recent Prince of Persia games. Am I wrong to think Sands of Time was only one of the new Prince of Persias and the rest of them didn't have that time-shifting component?
Don't know. Couldn't tell you.
I thought so, but I didn't, you know. There have been like six of them in the past several years.
There have been many.
But I guess this new one is based on controlling time and stuff, or the movie, I mean.
Yeah,
some component like that. So I'm happy to see that because I love it.
So that's going to be just like totally a beat to a horse's pulp until people get tired of time shifting, and then there's going to be another new hot thing that people.
Luckily, it's pretty hard to program, I would think. Well, at least the stuff in Braid. I don't know how he did it. Just making the shadow person wouldn't be that tough.
But I don't know.
I'm just laughing inside that you mentioned Blinks the cat.
Yeah. Because that's like one of the first times.
I could only be done with a hard drive.
Right.
I don't think that's true. Anyway,
no, not true.
Our program is done. We'll be back next week. We hope you will be too. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bass are belong to us.